listeners, and welcome to this podcast in honour of National Coming Out Day, hosted by me, Kitty Wild, and supported by the Wellington College Pride Society. Sharing stories is one of the oldest forms of communication. From cave paintings to oral traditions passed down through generations, storytelling has always brought communities together, fostering connection, identity, belonging, and a shared sense of humanity. For the LGBTQ+ community, Coming Out Day can be a powerful opportunity to share those stories. Stories that connect us, affirm us, and remind us that we are not alone. When I was 16, walking around my sixth form college, feeling isolated in my own identity, not yet out to anyone but myself, the only stories I could find were online, often American, and far removed from my own reality. That's why it's such a privilege now to hold space for members of our Wellington community, students, old Wellingtonians, staff and family members, to share their own stories and parts of themselves with the community where they live and work. And I am so deeply grateful to everybody who chose to take part. When someone stands up publicly and identifies as LGBTQ+, or part of that community, they're inviting others into a deeply personal part of their life, one that deserves both protection and celebration. Sharing your identity is not about asking for permission, and Coming Out Day isn't about seeking approval, nor is it about pressuring anyone to come out. I think it's about celebrating the right to own and tell our own stories in a time and space and way that feels safe and authentic to each individual. To build a world where every LGBTQ+ person feels healthy, safe, free, and celebrated in every area of life, we must keep sharing stories, building connection, and creating space for queer voices to be heard. Some might argue that coming out, and therefore having a day to celebrate it, is unnecessary. It's true that no one should have to come out, and that not coming out doesn't mean that you're hiding or being dishonest. In an ideal world, being straight or cisgender, that's when your gender identity is the same as your sex at birth, wouldn't be assumed to be the default, and nobody would make assumptions about anybody's orientation or gender identity. But for many, that day is still a long way off. So coming out has always been an important part of LGBTQ+ history. I believe this day gives us a chance to celebrate ourselves, if we've ever come out, or to celebrate our loved ones if they've come out to us, to honour those who came before us in times when it was dangerous or even illegal to do so, and to make space for those who will come after us. It's also important to acknowledge that in many parts of the world, it remains dangerous or illegal to identify as lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, or queer. Even here in the UK, there are still families, groups, and communities where coming out can feel unsafe. So it's vital to remember that LGBTQ+ people are still valid regardless of whether or not they choose to come out, or when they choose to do that. If you're listening and thinking about coming out yourself, I hope these stories to come reassure you that there's no single right time or right way, only the one that feels right for you. And please remember that there are members of our Wellington community who understand what you're going through and who are here to support you. You are not alone. I've come out many times in my own life, from admitting to myself at 16 that I was in love with Santana from Glee, the TV show, to telling my best friend Fiona that my crush wasn't a boy, but a girl also called Fiona, though not the same one. I just thought it was perfect comedic timing. I've told friends, family, colleagues. I've explored different identities and labels, bisexual, lesbian, queer, and often battled with feelings of otherness or loneliness. I've dated people who came out at 12 and others at 25. What I've learned is every story is different and every story matters. So now I am beyond privileged to share with you the voices of some wonderful people in our community. Those who have come into this podcast space and shared their stories in their own words, in their own time, without interruption. Away we go.
Hi, I'm Katrina. I ran Pride Sock for the 2024-2025 school year, and I've just come back to record this episode of the podcast, and I'm so happy that I'm here.
Well, as many people experienced during lockdown, a lot of people found fan fiction.
And that is probably the first time, like, I properly started to explore what it meant to be queer. And I read a lot of Harry Potter fan fiction that year. And I read a lot of queer books. I read Love, Simon so many times. My mum and my was always dropping hints. She figured it out before I'd like even done decided that I was figured out that I was queer. And she was like, you know, it's okay to love who you love. You can tell me anything you want. And she told me all. She's like, she knew because I was not subtle with watching that film so many times. And so I came out to my parents first when I was 13. And it was overall a really good experience. My dad had some issues because he's quite heavily religious. But at the end of the day, it all went very well. And I'm very, very lucky to have had that experience. Coming out to my friends was very different. I told my best friend over FaceTime, and she was very supportive. Like, she wasn't rude. But then the next day, I came out to another one of my friends, and she already knew because my friend had told everybody that we knew, basically. And so I'm very grateful to have been in lockdown during that time, because I think that would have been a very hard experience to have to look at people every day and know that I didn't get to decide that they would know. Even though I was planning on coming out to everyone all at once because I just didn't care, it still was upsetting to know that she betrayed my trust like that. And we never really spoke again. I called her really angrily that evening, and I was really upset. I cried. My mum wanted to call her mum and tell her mum what she'd done, but she was really upset that she wouldn't get in trouble. And so I just didn't do anything about it, but I blocked her and we have not spoken since. But that kind of coming out made me very defensive, and I always felt like anytime anyone was talking about me when I joined Wellington, it was about the fact that I was queer or it was something negative about me. And I was very defensive about a lot of things, and I was very quick to react a lot of the time. I made lots of fights in our tiny third form prep room because I was in the day house, so all of us were in one room. And I felt like I had a responsibility to defend every slightly homophobic, slightly transphobic thing that was ever said anywhere near my presence. And although it shouldn't happen, third form is a time where a lot of homophobia happens because people just want to be cool and fit in. And I made myself quite unpopular, not in a bad way. Like, I had my own group of friends, but everyone knew who I was, and they would never say anything bad about gay people or anything homophobic around me because they knew that I would start yelling at them. But I've come to realize that I don't owe anyone anything and that I do not have to be so defensive. And I was really lucky that I was able to turn like so much hurt and like defensiveness about being queer into something that brings me so much joy. I really loved running Pride Sock, and it really helped me come to terms with the fact that you don't have to be defensive and you can celebrate being queer without having to argue with everyone. It can just be a fact of life that you're gay and that you can be happy and enjoy spreading that joy to everyone else.
Hello there, I'm Mr. Nixon Richards, and many of you will know me from the art department. I teach art, photography, and sometimes textiles too. So my coming out story, I was quite late. I was about 22 when I came out, and it was after university. I'd come out to some of my friends during university before, and they were all very accepting. I suppose being in an art school, sort of very liberal place to spend your time, there's a sort of real diverse community. And of course, at university anyway, there's a real broad spectrum of people from lots of different backgrounds. So I felt very comfortable at university with my friends and I suppose being out that way. But it was when I graduated, and for a short time, just over the summer, I sort of moved back home with my parents. And I sort of felt it was time to tell them a little bit more about myself, really. I didn't really feel like it was introducing a new person to them or something necessarily even very significant. It's just I felt I needed to tell them just a little bit more about myself than perhaps what they already knew. So So I remember the rugby was on. It was a Sunday afternoon. The rugby was on and my dad was watching the match. And I think my mum was making a cup of tea or something in the kitchen. So I sort of just pulled her to one side because I thought she might need a little bit more sort of time and sensitivity in terms of me coming out to her. So I sort of sat her down and I said, you know, there's something I'd like to tell you. I said, you know, I'm all well, I'm all healthy and, you know, absolutely everything's fine and I'm very happy, but, you know, there's something I need to tell you about myself. And so I did, and she was very sort of accepting and I was very lucky in that way. And we had the sort of the conversation of, you know, do you think it's a phase or, you know, could you be interested in women as well? Are you sort of being bisexual? And I said, no, I think I know who I am and I'm very comfortable with that. And, you know, and she accepts and accepted me for that. And then she sort of called my dad through and she said, look, I feel like you need to tell your dad at the same time. So I sort of braced myself a little bit as he walked into the room. And to be honest, I think he was slightly irritated that we called him out of the match. And I told him very quickly, I said, Dad, you know, I've just got to say that I'm gay and I've just told Mum. And he was very quick to reply and say, that's absolutely fine, but do you mind if I get back to watching the rugby? So at home, it was excellent. And I couldn't be more lucky, really, with the way in which that was handled. I have a sister as well, Hannah, who's a few years older than me. And my parents told her. I didn't ask them to, and I sort of assumed that they would let me do that. So they told her, and fortunately, she was, again, very accepting, and she herself has sort of come out as bisexual too. So my coming out story with my family has been very, very positive. I suppose a slight difficult time that I did have was when I was at school. I was about 14, 15 years old. So in Form 4, Form 5 here at Wellington. And I was almost sort of outed by a teacher. I was in a RS class and we were all sitting a test. And very strangely, sort of he was sitting at his desk and we were in a class of about 22. And he kind of just called over across the silence and said, Richards, are you gay? And it was really peculiar. And I've never, ever wanted the world to swallow me up quite like then. I think I went absolutely bright red. And of course, I was in all boys school as well, boarding school. So all the faces start to kind of turn towards me. And there's giggling and there's chatter and there's certainly all the attention on me. And I really didn't quite know how to respond to that. So I think I asked if I could go to the loo and I sort of left the classroom and didn't return for the rest of that lesson. I suppose in terms of sort of coming out, I don't particularly like the term. I feel like it's not something else that anybody else, except from those in the sort of the LGBTQ plus community, have to do. This need to sort of announce something that's so deeply personal, but also really very private. And it was only recently that I was introduced to the term invitation in, where you actually can almost disclose and tell people those closest to you, rather than it feel like a sort of announcement. But I've been very lucky with my friends. And in fact, I just sort of, the way in which I sort of invited in to my friends was very much sort of just either introduce them directly to, you know, a boyfriend at the time that I was seeing, or say that, you know, we or he's coming over, or And I was sort of using the pronouns instead, and very quickly they kind of understood my story. So that's my story. So so thank you for listening, and thank you for Kitty for inviting me onto this podcast.
Hi guys, I'm Miss Walters. I teach biology here at Wellington, and I've been here for 3 years, just starting my fourth year. I'm here to just talk about my coming out story for National Coming Out Day. So I didn't realise that I was gay until I was around 23, almost 24 years old. And it was actually during the summer, just before I started working at Wellington. At the time I realised, I had a boyfriend and we'd been together for around 6 years. We were high school sweethearts, and my whole family loved him. And we started talking about the big commitments, like moving in together, a timeline for getting married and having kids. But as we moved through those stages, or more specifically when he moved into my flat, it forced me to confront some feelings. It's hard to describe, but my body and actually my social media knew that I was gay before I did. So I became more emotional and irritable, and I wanted my own space. I started getting TikToks aimed at lesbians. I did some BuzzFeed quizzes. I watched some videos of lesbian couples on YouTube. It's funny, I wasn't really aware of what was happening, but I think the scientist in me was subconsciously gathering some evidence that I could use to confirm my suspicions. Anyway, one day I was walking along the river in Marlow by myself, just thinking. I remember confessing to myself in my head, I'm gay. I felt relaxed, a weight off my shoulders. I was excited, I was happy, and I wanted to tell everyone. But the reality of what that meant for my relationship and the life I'd imagined for myself dawned on me. So I went home, I broke up with my boyfriend and told him why. He was really supportive and said he'd known for a while that it was coming, and he left. I called my mum straight away. I told her I ended my relationship and I wanted to date women. She was surprised but tentatively supportive and asked if I wanted to tell, if I want, I have to redo that sentence. She was surprised but tentatively supportive and asked if I wanted her to tell my dad and brother for me. I said yes. My dad phoned me and we had an emotional chat. He told me that I'd made the right decision and my 20s were for figuring out what made me happy, whatever that might look like. My brother never had to say anything. I knew he accepted and supported me. He'd had gay friends in school and at uni, and it was just never an issue. It was a similar story with my friends. I'd been telling my best friend everything as it happened the whole way through, and I told my close friends around the same time I told my family. Then to cover everyone else, I did an Instagram post, which is actually really embarrassing to think back on that now. So that was my big coming out phase. But nowadays, I've gained confidence in my sexuality and I'm in a happy relationship, and I find that I come out all the time in small ways, to my tutees, my classes, or any time I meet someone new. We tell each other about our lives and I have to drop my girlfriend into the conversation. It can be a bit nerve-wracking, but it makes me so happy when I get a positive reaction and when people ask me more about her. 9.9 times out of 10, the reaction is nothing but positive, and that's how it should be. So I mentioned in the story that I have to come out all the time, and one of those times is to my classes. And I think, to be honest, some of my students actually maybe realised I had a girlfriend before I was ready to tell them that I had a girlfriend. I think it's probably because I live on site, I'm very central, so students had seen me with a girl in the mornings and in the evenings and sort of put two and two together. But I was in a lesson with a sixth form class that I taught through year 12 and into year 13. And they asked me what I was doing over a half term. And I said, we are doing this rather than I am doing this. And they just latched onto it and they were like, oh, like, miss, like, who is it? And I think some of them knew and I think others of them didn't. And they just wanted the gossip. And one of the girls, bless her, asked me if I had a boyfriend. And I was like,
is this the moment where I'm going to tell a class for the first time that no, actually, I have a girlfriend? And I did. I was really embarrassed about it. I went bright red and I didn't really know what to say and I was scared of their reactions. But it was actually really lovely. And they asked me more about her and how long we'd been together. So it ended up being like a really sweet moment. And bless, a couple of the girls did stay behind afterwards and they just said, like, Miss, we are sorry for drawing that out of you. We didn't intend for that to happen. We didn't realise you were making a big revelation. And I thought I really appreciated that because it showed that they cared and they didn't kind of mean anything bad by asking the questions. I think they just wanted to know more, wanted to get to know me. So yeah, it was a positive experience in the end, but like in that moment in the lesson, it was stressful.
Now I'm going to share with you Miss Gunn's story. She's head of music at Wellington College Prep, and she hoped to be here to record herself, but unfortunately we weren't able to sort it logistically. So she's kindly sent me a small paragraph to tell you about her coming out journey and where she is now. So in Miss Gunn's words, I told most friends at age 21 while living in Australia that I identified as a lesbian and didn't tell my family until 6 months later once I moved back to London and met my wife, Anna. My sister was absolutely fine and very supportive. My parents took a bit longer to get used to the idea. I had many coming out moments through my life, usually when someone asks about my non-existent husband. After they met Anna, they were very understanding and accepting. We met in 2010, got married in December 2014, once equal marriage came into law, and now have two beautiful boys.
Hey, I'm Will, I'm in year 12 and I've just come to speak here today for a bit to talk about my story about coming out. I think people hear coming out, when people picture coming out and picture one big dramatic moment, like a huge announcement and everything, but for many of us I feel like it's more of like a long journey that takes time with like loads of different people and everyone's coming out in different stages and everything. For me, I started out by telling my close friend, the same as other people do, I think. And I was like talking about crushes and everything. I was like, I'm tired of avoiding this. So I told them the truth. I expected things to get like really awkward, but instead they just said, smiled and said, thank you for telling me. If I thought it was like gonna be small, but like it like actually meant a lot to me. And it showed me that sometimes people will surprise you with how kind and open they can be. And I really liked that. But the next telling my family came and my dad was actually really supportive and I didn't really expect it. I felt it was gonna be the other way around. But my mom, like, she wasn't that supportive, but it took like a lot of patience on both sides to like explain like the story. And yeah, she finally like, she's accepted it now. And yeah, but my grandparents don't know because she just told me not to tell them because like, she just said, don't tell them because it's not worth it. Then school, I told people at school around like the start of fourth form. I didn't really like make a big announcement out of it. I just told like a few people and it just spread. And I had really good reactions mostly, but obviously a few people are gonna say stuff. But yeah, I found like new friends I can make from that. Like not many people in my year are openly queer or anything. So that was kind of hard. Like I feel like I'm the only open gay person in my year. So that was hard, but I found other people across different year groups and they've just been really supportive and I really like that. Yeah, I realized like, yeah, it's not a one-time thing. Like you're going to continue doing it. Like every time you meet a new person and every single time you do it, there's a different reaction and like some are better than others, obviously, but like it's good to experience different reactions because it prepares you for new interactions with new people.
Hi, I'm Alida, and I'm going to talk about my coming out story. Coming out isn't one dramatic tipping point that changes your whole life. It's a collection of hundreds of tedious, repetitive interactions with each person you know. I don't remember the first time I came out, but I know who the first people to know were. In middle school, I had a group of friends who turned out to be almost all some variety of queer. is when we talked about celebrity crushes, women would inevitably come up, and no one thought anything of it. Who didn't find Scarlett Johansson pretty? But that didn't make us gay, right? At some point, I came to the realization that it wasn't just for celebrities, and when I added to my wedding Pinterest board, I was suddenly imagining two brides and no groom. That was when I came out to myself. I don't think I ever told those friends I was gay. At some point, I was just gossiping to them about my crushes, and it would be a she, and it was no big deal. The first time I remember coming out was to my mom. We were in the kitchen late at night after I got back from dance class, and I was talking about all the girls in my class. There was one girl who I may have described a bit too much. She was a few years older than me, which made her seem beyond cool, and she was on her studio's competition team, which meant she had gotten to perform at Disneyland the previous year. So she was basically a celebrity in my mind. She was also lesbian and very open about it. I still remember her wearing shoes with pride flags on the laces, and it was the first time I realized people can be queer without coming out. Her hair was dyed fire engine red, and she was the coolest person I'd ever met. My mom let me ramble on and on, but she was looking at me with that knowing look only moms can possess, and I knew that she knew. Over the next few weeks, she was suddenly volunteering to watch Heartstopper with me and was asking questions about all different terminologies and identities, showing that at some point she had done her research. Eventually, the rest of my family found out. I can't remember if I told them or if they figured it out themselves, but it was overall uneventful, whatever it was. I came out to the rest of my old school by petitioning for and leading an assembly about LGBTQ+ history without ever mentioning my own identity, but it was pretty clear. And I guess this podcast is me coming out to Wellington. Hi. And even if you are queer, never feel like you have to come out. Like you have to announce your identity at every interaction, unless that's something you want to do. You can just be yourself and let people think what they think. That's my favorite way to come out.
Hi, I'm Will, and I'm going to be reading Jess's story, who was leading Pride Talk for the 2023 to 2024 year group. She has very kindly sent in her story for me to read today. Jess. Coming out, at least for me, wasn't like the movies. There was no big scene of sitting my loved ones down, of telling them together who I am. Rather, it happened in parts. My friends found out late at night on a sleepover, as I nervously sat on a swing set. I've been thinking about it, and I think I might like women. My hands gripped the chains of the swing before finding their way to fidget on my lap. There was very little response. An, oh, that's cool, before asking someone to pass the vape. Living in an all-girls boarding school brought issues later down the line. But, at least for now, I think this was as well as 14-year-old Jessica could have hoped for it to go. My parents needed a different approach. My view was that the more casual the mention, the more casual the response. So, in my typical blunt fashion, I, not so subtly, referred to my crush as a she, and then turned very obviously to my mother, who thankfully got the hint. My father followed suit. As much as there have been issues with the way others have reacted to my sexuality, I'm very lucky to say that my coming out was very anticlimactic. Despite what films may portray, you don't just do it once. I have to repeat it every day. I mention our Pride Society to visiting parents and turn to see their reaction. I slip female pronouns into casual conversation to see if the person winces. Coming out never stops. It is constant and unrelenting. But the light at the end of the tunnel is when you find someone who smiles when they hear the she, who finds the community in your openness, who hopefully you can find community in too.
So I'm going to share now the story of Nicole, who's an old Wellingtonian and who very kindly emailed in her story to be shared as part of the podcast. So in Nicole's words, I'm not sure if my own coming out story is that interesting in all honesty. At the end of secondary school, I was outed by a friend turned not friend out of spite. And by the first few hours in college, I had pondered, well, what's one more difference enough times to just decide to be open if it ever came up in conversation? So I went back to Nicole and I said, thank you so much for sharing. I think every kind of coming out is interesting, even the quiet ones. I think that short paragraph you've written is the start of a really helpful and important story to share. Would you be happy to expand? And Nicole came back to say, I'm happy to share more. I felt betrayed by the friend as it was done in such a petty moment, but she hadn't previously shown any ill will on the topic. However, I also didn't mind too much. I didn't and still don't really believe in the idea of coming out, as it enforces heteronormativity. And if you don't assume anything at all, I find that people are more than happy to share. I had a boyfriend at the time, and most people didn't really care. Perhaps a reflection of biphobia, but not a personally victimizing moment at all. In college, I was already a visible minority, and on the first day, I had already disclosed my PAF positions. So what was one more thing? I don't really know entirely how it impacted my social life in college, because there was never really an alternative. And due to COVID, with a few exceptions, I didn't branch too far beyond my house. However, coming out did help me connect more with other queer students in college, and it is always important to have somewhat of a community. I am still close friends with a student I bonded with during their coming out at the college. Without saying too much, that transitional period is one of my most cherished memories. Being able to see them blossom into authentically themselves, each small transgression bigger than the last, is truly remarkable.
Hello, I am Lamont, and I am the leader of Pride Sock this year. The first person that I came out to was my aunt. She is the nicest person in my entire life. She's been an incredible friend, and she is also the coolest person that I've ever met. And it was very, very simple and very easy for me to talk to her about it. So basically, I came out to my aunt in my room. I told her to come in. I had something to discuss with her, and I asked her, what would you react if I'm gay and I'm dating someone in my school who is a boy? And she was completely chill with it. She did ask me to think through it because I was quite young. I was like 13 at that time. And she's like, you might not be completely sure about what you are and how everything is going on. You might just, you know, teenage, all those things. But I think I was sure back then, but it ended just quite roughly. My aunt has been very close to my mom. They grew up together their entire life, and they we live really closely. So I am not sure, but I would like to believe that she did communicate with my mom, because they do talk to each other about almost everything. And a few days later, she came back to me, and then she said that she's going to support me no matter what. And then that, interesting also, that she discussed with my mom when I was just born. Possible outcome was that my mom, almost as a joke, said, oh, what if he's gay? What if he brings back a boyfriend or something? But they ended up the conversation laughing and just taking it as a positive thing, which is very nice. So that's with my aunt. Later on in school, I was caught up in a very, very complicated relationship that I would not go over in this podcast. And that coming out story was not a particularly pleasant one, because I was half forced. One of the girls told her friend about it, and the entire school knew without my consent or anything. I was not very annoyed with it. I didn't really care about it at all, because first of all, I didn't really mind or socialize with any of the people who involved with it anyways, and some of my close friends have already knew anyways, so I didn't care much. I would still prefer if I get to keep my choice of who to come out with and who to not say it to. It kind of just went over in the whole school, but then it just gone over with it quite quickly because I didn't really react or anything to anyone, and they probably just got bored. And that's before I came to Willington. And, well, probably because of that experience, I'm quite open and I don't really care. What I always think about coming out is that I don't want to make it a huge thing. I don't want to announce it in front of a whole group of people or make it something very special or kind of all about me, because I don't think it is something that's like that. I think being gay is just like to paint or good at math. It's just something that's a part of you instead of something that's so special that you need to make clear before anything else happen. I rarely come out actively to people, but instead I would let people gradually realize that I'm actually gay. And I think that has been quite well established. After all, I do come to Pride Sock quite regularly. I wear rainbow all the time, and I suppose my gesture and everything would, and my behavior would give people some hint. And I came out to a few of the boys in my house in my year at quite start when I first joined, and I hope they did tell it to everyone else, because to let they confirm it as well, but I don't know if that happened or not. It was during a conversation where they were discussing about walks, and they asked me would I ever go on a walk with someone, and I just told them it came up quite naturally, and they were very supportive, which made me very happy. The moment that I actually came out to my mom was the night before I went on to the London Pride with Katrina last year. The whole of Pride Talk went there, and it was the best experience. Well, one of the best experiences that I've had. And my mom, presumably known in that conversation before with my aunt, asked me, well, she was a bit shy, and she started the conversation with a discussion about my future, that if I were to bring home a wife, and then she subtly changed it to, and she is fine if I didn't bring home a wife, but a husband instead. And I went quite happy, and I burst into laugh, and I was like, yeah, it's probably going to be a husband. And she's very shocked. She acted very shocked, but I know she's meant it as a joke. And we just kind of got over it. It was quite late in the night, and we didn't quite went on. And then a while after, we had a proper conversation, and I confirmed that, yes, there is a very, very small chance that I'm going to marry to a woman or date a woman. And she accepted it very smoothly, as I expected. As I said, my family, entire family, is very inclusive about it. And I know they would accept it very easily from the start. So yeah, that's all the people that I've came out to, I suppose. I wouldn't came out to my grandparents. I don't think I ever will. I'll just patiently wait until they... and I don't think I'll came out to my dad. We're not that close. And he don't need to know. I'll just wait and see his expression. And shock him when I eventually decide to get married, if ever, I don't know. That's it. I've got mostly pleasant story about my coming out experiences.
Hi, I'm Kitty Wild, and You heard me at the beginning of the podcast introducing National Coming Out Day and what we're doing today, and now I'm going to share part of my own story with you. I am 16 and being told to stop kissing a boy at a party because he's bisexual. Maybe I'm bisexual too, I blurt out, a thought I wasn't even aware I'd been having. My friends dismiss it. Just drunk and confused, they say. I am 18 and counting down to the end of the song on the radio, preparing to tell my mum I like boys and girls. She misses the exit on the motorway. A few short weeks later, and she's so glad that little phase is over now that I have a boyfriend. I am 22, in a long-term relationship with him, but scrolling through girls on Tinder. I'm told, of course it's fine if you kiss a girl at a party. It doesn't mean anything. I am 23, engaged to a boy. I wonder if I'll ever date a girl. But most people end up divorced anyway, so I probably won't be wondering forever. I am 24. I've had no sleep. My newborn baby has been crying since the moment he was born. My fiancé plays PS4 all day and parties all weekend, while my baby screams on my shoulder and refuses to feed. I try to find joy in the small moments, but I also wonder what it would be like to not be here anymore. This is the lowest I've ever been. I am 25. My brain's frontal lobe has now fully developed. I've just learnt on TikTok. It's highly likely I have ADHD, I've just learnt on TikTok. Maybe I have never really known myself, I've just learnt on TikTok. I have left my fiancé. I have dyed my hair, quit my job. I'm starting from scratch. I'm low, but my friends are wrapping me in love. A girl messages me in the middle of the night. She tells me I'm cute. I feel things I've never felt before. It's my first ever date with a woman. I'm waiting for her to arrive, and a man approaches me and tells me to ditch my date and come with him. He gets more aggressive. I get out my phone to call for help. She arrives, grabs me by the hand. Her date's here now, you can leave her alone. She whisks me away down the street and we don't look back. I text my friend from the bathroom. I think I'm gay. She responds, slow down, you can't be sure. I cry harder over that 1 month fling than I did over leaving my boyfriend of 7 years. I am 26, at London Pride with my toddler and my girlfriend. There are rainbows everywhere and the Teletubbies are special guests. I am 27, on the tube with my girlfriend. A lesbian couple opposite us are verbally abused by a young man. We keep quiet and unconsciously create space between our bodies. I apply for this job. My family tell me not to mention being gay or having a son or my ADHD. It might skew their perceptions of me. I share it all in the interview, unashamedly. I get the job. There are pride flags hanging up over the entrance to my building, and I feel seen. I am 28 and then 29. The years start to blur as I feel more settled in life and in myself. My queer identity develops. I come out over and over again, give speeches at work, organize the Pride Society. I start to heal my inner child through watching these amazing children proudly tend to their little community. The more authentic I am in myself, the more I attract others to my light. I feel safe. I feel loved. I feel happy. I owe a lot to my therapist. And I know myself better than I ever have done. Some days I'm still scared. My life can be hard for lots of reasons, but it's also beautiful.
Hi, I'm Mrs. Moore-Bridger. I'm here to share a bit of my story. The interesting thing for me is that I never really came out, and yet I also feel like I come out every few days, every time I meet a different person. Growing up, no one at my school or the boys' school was out as anything, and it was often a kind of insult that was thrown around as a bad thing. Though, as I was kind of preparing for this, I was thinking, I don't know what I would characterise myself as. I think probably having never officially come out, I'm definitely a lesbian, or I'm definitely bisexual, or I'm definitely gay. it was just kind of, I presumed everyone was lying about not being attracted to all different types of people, and they just didn't say it out loud. I was like, you definitely are, surely. No one's just attracted to one kind of person. How boring that must be. But, you know, I definitely kind of presumed that I would marry a man and, you know, have a very stereotypical life, regardless of how I felt about other people. When I went to university, I was suddenly surrounded by loads of out queer people. And I kind of presumed I was part of that group, though I still would never say I was anything particular. They were just all my friends, mostly because I did a lot of musical theatre, to be honest. And it was just normal and just not something we ever really talked about. After university, I was on a lot of dating apps, and generally I was considered not gay enough to date lesbians. And so I ended up mostly going out with men, and like that was fine. And then I met my wife, and it all kind of made sense. And I think a lot of people, when they saw me with my wife for the first time, I mean, she's now my wife, obviously, kind of went, oh, yeah, this makes sense. I get it now. I get your whole thing. That never really clicked when I had had boyfriends in the past. And I think when I introduced her to my friends, it was never really a conversation of, oh, now you're this or now you're that. It was just, this feels normal for you, and it felt normal for me. And I think that was because I'd already surrounded myself with people I knew would be cool about it, I think, which makes sense. You gravitate to the people that you know will support you and respect your decisions, regardless of what way those go. I remember when I introduced her to my parents, who I don't know, I don't think I'd ever introduced anyone to my parents before. And they were very supportive and lovely about it. And then afterwards, in a conversation with my mum, she went, but you do realise you'll just be two girls. And I was like, yeah, that's kind of the point, mum. Yeah, that was the goal, in fact. And actually now it's just normal. It's not something we talk about, not something I've ever had to talk about. I think there was always a concern from my family that it would get in the way of my career, that it would be harder for me in life. But if anything, I think my wife has only enhanced my career. She's much more sociable than I am, and definitely helps me at work events. I also always mention her at interviews when I go to new schools, just to kind of gauge the vibes of the place. And in a lot of ways, that's really handy for me, because most people have to just kind of feel it out. And I get to see firsthand how people will react before I go to that place. And I know that when I came here to Wellington, I mentioned my wife. When Mr. Dahl asked me what I would need in a house if I were to come here, and I said, well, I have a grand piano and I have a wife, so I need space for both of those. And he said, I think we can accommodate that. And it's not been difficult at all. But as I said, I come out most days to new students, to new members of staff, to members of staff that I've never mentioned it to before. I'll just mention my wife in passing. And you can see some people's reactions. They're not negative. It's just both surprise that that's not what they're expecting, and surprise that I would just casually say it out loud. And yet, people talk about their husbands all the time. So I think, you know, one step at a time, we're just normalising it. It's just not a big deal. I just happen to have a wife, and she is very cool. And I think lots of people at this school who have met her would agree. And I don't think in any way It changes how I am as a teacher or as a leader or as a member of staff or as a friend.
Hello, my name's Leanna O'Neill. I am Mr. O'Neill's wife. That's how I'm linked to Wellington. And I have been to a few of the Pride Socks run by Kitty. and I'm here today to tell my coming out story. I like to refer to it as the tale of two comings out. And I'll start with the first one. So I first came out in January of 2006, which it was a long, long time ago. I was 12 years old. And to me, it kind of felt normal that I fancied boys, but I also started to fancy girls. And I sort of got this confidence from somewhere and decided to share that with my two best friends. And it sort of backfired and it wasn't great. Not that I blame them looking back, but it was 2006 and there wasn't any role models. There wasn't really a space in my school. In fact, gay was only used as an insult in my school. So it was quite a hostile environment. And I did a diary entry. I keep diaries. I'm one of those sort of people. Back when I came out, and this is what I wrote, which is quite sad. I said, back to school, first day, and it was probably the worst day of my life. And if it's okay, I really don't want to talk about it. So I'm going to just say that we all make mistakes and we learn from them. So that's kind of how I viewed it. I came out to my friends. It didn't go down well. They sort of felt a bit put off by me, and then I went back home to tell my mum, and she didn't really know how to handle it. She sort of said, it's just a phase, you know, all those things. I shared with her the girl that I fancied, and she said, oh, well, she looks like a boy anyway, so you're just confused. So it was all that kind of being thrown at me. I'm confused, it's a stage, it's a mistake, and that's how I internalized it. So I tried to come out at 12 and then I very, very quickly went back. and it took 12 years for the second coming out. And if the first one was met with sort of suspicion and discomfort and shame, then the second coming out was met with love and support. I was at university. It was 2017. I had a predominantly queer group of friends who were all out and proud in their own way. I was actually the token straight friend. Little did they know. But even though I was in such a supportive environment, I had so much internalized homophobia that I was still nervous to come out to them. But I plucked up the courage one night. I did, and it was wonderful. It was one of the best things I've ever done, to sort of reclaim that and remember what it was like 12 years ago and how much shame I took on, to then come out again and, as I said, be met with love and acceptance and finally know how good it feels to be your true self. And since then, yeah, I've been out to, you know, most friends, most people that know me well, and it's great, and I feel really proud, and I'm so honoured to know so many queer people and experience queer joy, and love that in Wellington there is a Pride Sock, and that's definitely something that 12-year-old me could have really benefited from and would have made the first coming out a lot easier, just to know that there were people in your community. That's my story. So I identify as bisexual. I'm very lucky that I have a brilliant partner, Mr. O'Neill. So to the world, we might appear to be a straight couple. I have a lot of straight passing privilege, but it's also really important to me that I do stay part of the community. And I probably overcompensate with the amount of rainbow clothes I wear. But it is a massive part of me, and that's part of being bisexual, right? You could be with any gender, and I chose to be with a man, but I could very much have easily not been with a man, and just because I am with a man now doesn't take away the fact that I'm bisexual. So even though it's not immediately apparent to someone, my sexuality that I meet, I do like to, you know, come out and drop the fact that I'm queer because it's important. And having lived so much of my life hiding that, I don't want to hide that anymore.
An absolutely huge, huge thank you to everyone who shared their stories today. Your honesty, courage and generosity will just make our community stronger. And thank you so much to those of you who have listened with an open heart too. If any of these stories have resonated with you, or you'd like to hear more in-depth conversations in the future, do let us know at pride@wellingtoncollege.org.uk, or you can email me, kwild@wellingtoncollege.org.uk, or just find me by typing in Kitty Wild. Until then, keep supporting each other, keep celebrating every part of who you are, and every story shared makes our world a little bit kinder and a little bit more connected. Thank you.